Doug, how are you?
Hey, Tony. Good morning.
Well, it's been a wild ride. Sum up your thoughts about the market and the first quarter of 2011 and what you suspect may happen in the second quarter.
Well, I'll tell you, over recent weeks, it's been pretty astonishing, frankly. You know, the Middle East, Japan, market comes off quite hard. The S&P 500, Tony, dropped all the way down to 1250, which was about an 8% correction. But we're now up eight or nine of the last sessions here. So the market's, you know, essentially rebounded straight up. And I think that has to do with the undertone, which the economic data points, I mean, they're quite strong. Had a decent employment report this morning. You're getting industrial production numbers kind of going through the ceiling. It's interesting because a lot of the data points right now, you know, this isn't really that well advertised, at least to my knowledge, but we're getting a lot of data points, let's say a manufacturing industrial strength, you know, as strong as they've been since the 70s in some cases. And I think here in Michigan, we're a little bit clouded as to what's going around the rest, going on, you know, in the rest of the country. It's just really, it's pretty amazing. And the stock market is telling you that. I mean, there's a reason that prices have been going up, and there's a reason that prices are resilient. Market is taking into account these factors, and it's pricing it into the market, and that price direction has been up.
Well, trying to understand what's going on, it's crazy because when you look at what's going on in Japan, when you look at what's going on in the Middle East, when you look at the probability of what's going to happen in Portugal and Spain, when you look at how, even though they've stabilized, you had a challenge with oil prices, and with this huge budget deficit we have in this country, you would think that the stock market would just be into the grave.
Dire stuff, right? You know, on a mathematical or statistical basis, market participants recognize that Japan, let's say, is going to take off maybe a half of a 1% of growth in the U.S. Oil, higher oil prices, you know, we've run from 85 to 105, probably takes off another half of 1%. So that's 1% total on an economy that's maybe growing 3 or 4%. So it's somewhere between a third to 25% of our growth rate. I mean, that's significant. But, and this is the thing with the market, Tony, it's really one of these odd things. It's very counterintuitive. The market will see this negative news lots of times. And I could give you, you know, this happened during the tech bubble. It was going on during the housing bubble. These things that seem so obvious, they matter, but they don't matter in terms of price until they do. And what I mean by that is you'll just someday you'll wake up and all these kind of negative clouds, they'll matter and prices will be down. But the market's odd that way. A lot of times it'll just kind of discount these things away and it'll continue to grind higher, which is what it's doing right now. And then one day something happens and the stuff matters and down you come. But right now, the market clearly is telling us, certainly over the short term, that these things are just, you know, they're not material enough to knock the tide back.
All right, I have a three-part question for you. What does the current debt that we have in this country mean to the market? What would happen if that debt isn't addressed short term? And what would happen to the market if we had no debt?
If we had no debt,
yes.
That'd be the utopia, right? you know, the ultimate dream, which, you know, likely never happens. But the reality is actually some debt is good. You know, if you think about that a little closer to home, you know, we all have, I shouldn't say we all, but many of us have debt that allows us to get into a home. So that's good for the housing market, as an example. We borrow money to purchase automobiles. That's obviously good for the auto industry. So some level of debt is actually good. Now, of course, what you're alluding to is where we're at in the big picture. And here again, this is one of those things where it matters. It will matter, I'm certain, at some point, but it doesn't really matter now. And by that, I mean the bond market, which is where you would really see a response to the national debt. And not just here, but in Europe, the UK, France, Germany, et cetera. Interest rates, government bond rates, have stayed low, as we know. And the reason that's happening is the market, the bond market, just doesn't care or isn't that worried yet about the debt. And their concern ultimately will be, are they going to get paid back? And so someday, you know, it seems reasonable that interest rates on government bonds will start to go up. there's a variety of reasons that might happen, but one would be, as it relates to the debt, is at some point investors may say, hey, I'm not so sure I'm going to get paid back. And as a result of that, they're going to demand higher interest rates. But today, the 10-year Treasury bond's paying a bit over 3%. I mean, it's historically low. Mortgage rates are at the lowest level they've been, which really is a byproduct of the government bond market, lowest level they've been since 1900. And so the market right now, again, is not really cranked up about that.
And Doug, before we let you go, I've got about 30 seconds. What do you think the market, how is it going to respond for second quarter?
I wouldn't be surprised. To me, it does feel like a little bit of window dressing into the end of the quarter here. Yeah, by that, Tony, I mean that the institutional-type investors tend to be buyers, not sellers, into the end of the quarter. Makes portfolios look a little bit better. Then you're going to probably have some reinvestment demand. So over the next, let's call it 2 to 5 sessions, probably has a upward tilt.